looks like a clinic on how not to do things on the baseball field.
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz. Brought to you by Big Y Grocery Store, C-Mobile, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Jordan's Furniture, Integrity from Marvin Windows and Doors, TestTrips.com, Acura of Auburn, Anderson McQuaid, Direct Federal Credit Union, Gravely Lawnmowers, AceTicket.com, WFXT-TV, and Mohegan Sun. On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Fastball is hammered, and the Astros lead 2-0. Just a rocket here by Correa.
Pomeranz delivers 1-0. Altuve cracks a soft liner that will sink in front of Benintendi for a base hit. Bregman in to score on an Altuve single, and the Astros lead 4-1. That is down the line, a fair ball, and it goes all the way to the corner. Springer's in to score. Here comes Altuve. A two-run double for Carlos Correa.
You remember that, Red Sox fans? You remember what it felt like? Do you? Do you remember that? Do you remember what it felt like? Because that was last October. That was Houston. That was the last time you were down there in the American League Division Series. And frankly, the Red Sox get their asses kicked. Okay, they got their asses kicked. 8-2 in game one, 8-2 in game two. They get smoked. Both of those games down there in Houston, came back and won game three before ultimately losing game four and losing the series to the eventual world champion, Houston Astros, whom they will face over the next 4 days down in Houston. 617-779-0985 is your number here on the Baseball Reporters. Jimmy Stewart, our producer, has opened up the phone lines already, so I see a number of you getting lined up here as we speak. So let me just say this, make this initial point with regard to this series, because I do think it's an important series. I think that there are, this year especially, very few true measuring stick series for the Red Sox. The ones with the Yankees are obvious. Those are the two class teams in the American League East. Everyone else stinks. And the other team in the American League that looks like a wagon, again, is Houston. The Astros, the defending world champions. And so I want to begin with a comment that Alex Cora, the Red Sox manager, made to Sean McAdam of Boston Sports Journal yesterday. And actually, it may have been in the group setting after the game. But nonetheless, McAdam asked, I saw the McAdam story on bostonsportsjournal.com. Cora was asked, okay, or let me just read directly from McAdam's column first, and then I'll get to Cora's comment. As alluring as the matchup is, McAdam writes, Cora is careful not to place too much emphasis on it. It is, after all, just four games out of 162, and nearly two-thirds of the season remains. Okay, so that's McAdam now. Cora says, quote, we went to New York and lost two out of three, and everybody turned the page right away, he said. Talking about the team, everybody turned the page right away. He continues, I understand there's moments in the season, but I don't get caught up in it. For me, the cool thing about the whole weekend will be getting my ring on Thursday and being able to see those guys and compete against them. So let me stop there. Cora goes on. And I would say to Jimmy Stewart, our producer, how do you feel about the manager saying, the cool thing about the whole weekend for me will be getting my ring on Thursday and being able to see those guys and compete against them?
Feels like a scheduled loss tonight.
So, like, I don't... Look, I get it. Cora was part of a unique thing last year with the Astros. But the Red Sox are now going in there to play him. And I said this earlier today, sort of as a joke, but I kind of half mean it. Part of me still feels like Cora's wearing the Astros uniform to bed at night. So I'm done hearing about the Astros. And I understand he's getting his ring tonight. So maybe this will close the book on it. But I would hope that the Red Sox see this series with Houston as an opportunity to lend some real credibility to their season in the eyes of those people who look at them and wonder, are they really as good as their record? I mean, I think, Jimmy, that there are people out there who look at the Red Sox record of 39-17 and say, yeah, that's 113-114 win pace, but they're really not a 113-114 win team. I know there are people out there like that.
I would include myself in that group, Tony.
Okay. So, a number of different players commented on the series with the Astros, and I would like to read you a couple of these comments, because some of them, I think, really strike at the core of this series, and they give me reason for optimism. For example, reliever Matt Barnes, I think everybody wants another shot at them. And this is in a story written by Alex Speer on BostonGlobe.com. Okay, Barnes says, I think everybody wants another shot at them. They're the defending champions. It's them, and we've got to go in there and show them that we mean business. Good. I would hope that the Red Sox would approach the series that way. And he's not the only one. Okay, Rick Porcello. There's a lot of things that are different now. We have a lot of the same guys, but it's a different feel in the clubhouse this year. Right now, at this point in the season, we have a lot of confidence. We honestly believe that we can beat anybody as long as we play well. Then there is someone like Mookie Betts, who says it's just a different dynamic. We've got new guys. Our outlook on things is a little bit different this year. We just go and play and don't worry about the rest. Internally, we feel really confident whoever we play against. That's the main difference. So I feel like Betts is sort of de-emphasizing the games with the Astros. Porcello feels to me like, no, we think we can beat anyone. We can beat the Astros. And again, maybe those comments are more alike than they are different, but I look at it and say, the Red Sox understand that this is a measuring stick series. To me, the whole point of this season was for the Red Sox to prove that they can be great, not just good. We know they're good. They won 93 games the last 2 years. Then they got into the playoffs against peers or alleged peers, and they get their asses kicked. They get swept by the Indians, who went to the World Series. They lost in 4 games to the Astros, who won it. So combined, the Red Sox are 1-6 in their last 2 postseasons. Now they're going up against one of the big boys again. And I have said all along, prove to me that you're on that level. The games with the Yankees thus far, good sign. The Red Sox have gone 3-3 against New York, although the series down there left something to be desired because the Red Sox look like they cracked. The Yankees have gone against the Astros and gone 5-2 after losing to them in the LCS last year. New York has won both series against Houston this season. So combined against the Astros and Red Sox, the Yankees are 8-5. The Red Sox right now are 3-3 against New York. They've yet to play Houston. To me, this is a huge, huge measuring stick series. Huge. And for particular members of the Red Sox more than others, which we'll get to here as we go along in the program. But 617-779-0985. We'll kick it off tonight with Ray and Revere. Go ahead, Ray.
Yeah, I think this is a 100-win team, Tony. They have 2 MVP candidates and a Cy Young pitcher at the top of the rotation. And their younger players are starting to really perform to their level. You know, my concern with this team is that they're in a division with another 100-win team. And now you've got the wild card situation in baseball where they could be out one game and they go up against Ohtani in a playoff game because they didn't win the division.
Okay, so Ray, the division race is what it is and it is a concern. But you at this moment, you believe the Red Sox are on the same level as the Astros.
I believe they're above everybody else with the exception of the Astros and the Yankees. I think they both those teams are a notch better.
Okay,
but the Yankees will go out and get a starting pitcher, Tony. They have the prospect.
Okay, so again, we'll worry about July 31st when we get there. But when you say you think they're ahead of everybody else but the Astros and the Yankees, to me the Astros and the Yankees are the only ones that matter. Cleveland matters too, to a lesser degree the Angels, but the Red Sox should be on that top level. This is the point to me. That's what this season is about. Can you get to that top shelf? There's no point in being a B-plus team. A B-plus team gets you into the playoffs, or a B team. That gets you into the playoffs, and then you lose. That's the Minnesota Twins. I don't want to be the Minnesota Twins. I want to be a team that can win at the highest level, and that's what the Red Sox should be. That should be the standard we hold them to. The whole point is, can you get up on that top level with the big boys, with the very best teams in baseball, and go the distance? So, and look, at the end of the day, if they lose in 7 games to the Astros, is that the end of the world in the LCS? No. It would at least prove to me that they've taken a huge step in the right direction. Because the last 2 years, let's face it, the Red Sox have been a paper tiger. They rack up wins during the regular season, they go up against the big boys, and they lose. And not only do they lose big. Big. The Astros last year, especially down there, and the road series means more to me in those environments when you're going against good teams. They're hard places to win. Houston's a hard place to win now, just like New York is. Those games, those teams show you the metal of a team. That's what they show you, the metal. I would like at least, as much as we can get one during the regular season, some glimpse that the Red Sox can go in there and handle themselves and win in a tough spot. I need to see it. We'll continue with your phone calls. I want to get to a couple of key guys in this series, and I want to close the loop on something I brought up the other night concerning Jackie Bradley Jr. We'll do all of that here in the next little bit.
Boston's most comprehensive discussion of everything baseball. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Here's the thing I find most amazing. Baseball gets caught up.
You don't quit on your team.
When you want to win, play through anything.
The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Mandoor off second. He is the winning run. Bottom of the 10th, tied at 5, pitch. Line to right field. It is a base hit. Here comes Andujar. Here comes the throw. He scores. Ball game over. Yankees win. The Yankees win. Gleyber Torres gets the game-winning walk-off hit. It's Gleyber Day. A line drive to right, so the kids win it. A double by Andujar. A ribby game-winning walk-off base hit in the 10th inning by Torres. And the Yankees win it in 10-6-5. It's a wonderful day in the Gleyberhood.
So don't worry, I'm not going to hit you over the head with the Yankees. That's not what that was about. That's obviously Gleyber Torres' game-winning hit from a couple of nights ago. The Astros were the losing team in that game. The Astros dropped the final two games of the series with the Yankees. The Astros have now lost 4 out of 5. 4 out of 5, Houston. And so, and by the way, that 4 out of 5 is against Cleveland and New York, all on the road. Now Houston is back at its own ballpark. And so I wonder, is the fact that Houston has lost 4 out of 5, is that a good thing? Because you're catching them at a good time and maybe they're going a little cold? Or is that a bad thing because the Astros are so good that they're not going to react kindly to losing 4 out of 5? And their pitching staff, off the charts good. Okay, insanely good. If you're going to beat them, tonight might be your best shot. Lance McCullers pitches tonight against Pomeranz, albeit. So I don't know. I don't know if I love Pomeranz going against the Astros, especially given the right-handed hitters in that Houston lineup. But nonetheless, after tonight, you're going to see Gerrit Cole 5-1, Justin Verlander 7-2, Charlie Morton 7-0. Combined, those guys are 19-3, and their ERAs are all in the twos, except for Verlander, who's in the ones, the low ones. So it feels like if the Red Sox are going to jump on a Houston pitcher and score, tonight is the night to do it. And again, I just don't think, I know it's, you know, May/June. But you don't get many regular season series like this that have some build-up, some hype. Sale and Price will both pitch in this series. Eduardo Rodriguez is the only Red Sox starter who will not pitch in this series. Everyone else will go. It just feels like an opportunity for the Red Sox to say, yes, we belong. We belong. That's what you should be looking for them to do here. Sam is in Waltham. Go ahead, Sam.
Hey, Matt. I know that, you know, you have a big affection for the Yankees and Houston, but I just want to know, for the rest of the year, would you rather take Boston's starting pitching lineup, or would you rather take Boston's offense over both those two teams? That's all I want to know. For the rest of the year, Boston's offense and Boston's pitching versus Houston and the Yankees.
Sam, Houston. I would take Houston. Tim McCone's in here from Murray tonight. McCone, who would you take? Would you take the Red Sox roster or the Houston or Yankees rosters?
Well, Houston and New York over the Red Sox.
Okay, I lean towards the Yankees, too, over the Red Sox. I lean that way at the moment. I think that one's closer. But Houston, that's a no-brainer. Everybody would take Houston. And in fact, when I say everybody, I mean everybody, including the manager of the Red Sox. Cora, in the same story to Sean McAdam in Boston Sports Journal, let me read you his comment. Honestly, for how good we are, I still feel they are the best team in baseball, Cora said of the Astros. I know AJ hates me for saying that, and he's talking about AJ Hinch, but I'm going to keep saying it. But I think the way they're pitching, it will be good to see how we handle that. Okay, Cora knows Houston's the best team in the game. And I like that comment from Cora. I don't know whether he did it intentionally, but Cora, to me, is sort of laying it out there for his team. Don't think you're better than these guys yet, because you're not. Until you beat them, and until you do something that actually matters, you're not better than them. So, and the caller's got it wrong. You know, I have an affection for the Astros and the Yankees. It's not me liking those teams better. It's me thinking those teams are better. That's what it is. The Red Sox are good. Hey, they're good. My buddy Angelo's in Methuen. What do you got, Angelo?
How are you doing, Tony?
Good.
I know you don't like them, but I'm going to say it anyways without giving you agita. I still love Jackie Bradley. He saved the Sox quite a few extra base hits by Toronto.
So, Angelo, I'm sure you liked the catch he made on Monday where he ran into the triangle and caught the ball over his shoulder?
I don't even think Polak would catch that. Maybe.
Okay, so look, Angelo, and I'm not going to bust your chops on it, okay? I'm going to let you go. The catch Bradley made on Monday? Ridiculous. Ridiculous. I mean, absolutely great, great catch. Does the defense justify the offense when he's hitting a .175 or a .180? And the answer is no. So as great as that catch was on Monday, and I've been meaning to get this off my chest, as great as it was, how many of those does he really make a year? I mean, that kind of catch where maybe there are a couple of other guys who make it, but really no one else does. How many of those does Jackie Bradley make a year? Two or three? Maybe? I mean, he makes a lot of really good catches. That one the other day was like an off-the-charts great catch. So he might make two or three of those a year. You know where Jackie Bradley ranks among major league center fielders in modern metrics in terms of runs saved in center field this year? You know where he ranks? 13th. 13th, according to Fangraphs. So if he doesn't hit, I'm sorry. The defense is not worth it. Pats and Upton, Pat, go.
Yeah, I get that Steven Wright's not a huge upgrade over Pomerantz, but I'm surprised they're rolling that bum out for tonight. I mean, he's been pitching like garbage. Wright pretty much saved you that game when he pitched the three innings. I'm surprised they didn't reward him with the start tonight.
So, Pat, it feels like that one's coming. It sounds like Wright may start on Tuesday, I think it is. The Red Sox are off on Monday. So the last thing I saw was that they're going to insert Wright into the rotation on Tuesday and actually may go with a six-man one trip through just to give everybody a little bit more rest. You know, gives everybody a blow and extends the thing a little. And, you know, it's not a bad way to go. But if Pomerantz pitches poorly tonight and then Wright pitches well on Tuesday, do the math. Wright's in a position to bump him out of there. I mean, that would be Pomerantz's day if he stayed on 5 days. It's Eduardo Rodriguez's turn, but it'd be Pomerantz's day. He's pitching Thursday. So Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday is 4 days off. He'd pitch Tuesday. Wright's going in that spot. And you know why that is? Because Cora is looking at it and saying, if Pomerantz pitches badly and Wright pitches well, I'll make the switch, and I'll put Wright into the rotation. Bobby's in a car. Go ahead, Bobby, quickly.
Tony, real quickly. Yeah, I think the Sox are much improved over last year. I think, you know, worst case, they split this weekend. But the big thing is J.D. Martinez, and I wasn't on board either. Like you and Felder, I thought those were hollow numbers out in Arizona, but this guy just looks lethal. I mean, you're looking at an MVP of the league potentially here, Tony, you know, and, you know, Dombrowski nailed it on this guy. And in regards to Dombrowski, Hanley was never his guy. He never gave him that contract. He was under the old regime, so to speak. You know what I mean? So I'm big on J.D. Martinez. I mean, this guy's impressing me. I thought that, you know, like Felger said, he might have been a PED guy, a late bloomer. But he looks legit, Tony. You got to give it to him.
Oh, yeah. So, Bobby, look, I still don't get the Hanley thing. I mean, they can't justify that one to me by telling me it's a baseball decision, which I don't believe. That's a business decision, and I'm eager to see if Hanley tacks on anywhere or doesn't. We'll see how that one shakes out. On J.D. Martinez, I would call the signing a home run, but that would be inaccurate so far. It's a grand slam so far. So far. He's been awesome. And as a former Astro, maybe he's got something to prove in this series too. So we'll see what type of impact J.D. Martinez has. That's another good one. He's an easy guy to look at in this series and say, this is a guy I want to see. I want to see how he does against his former team. I want to see what kind of impact he has on the matchup between the Astros and the Red Sox. Because that's what this series is about. Several months later, several months after the Red Sox got their asses kicked in the playoffs, they now go back to Houston, where they lost games by consecutive 8-2 scores in games 1 and 2 last year. They go back there with a different manager, a different cleanup hitter, or a different stud in the middle of their lineup, and they take another crack at him. Let's see where it is. And despite that, I don't think J.D. Martinez is the most important guy to watch in this series. He's one of them. But to me, I'll tell you the guy that I want to see in this series. We'll do that after Tim McCone gets you caught up on headlines.
The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, The Sports Hub. From the field.
You're the one who threw the pitch.
To the clubhouse.
You're a reliever short.
To the corner office.
That sends all the wrong messages.
We have the Sox covered.
Because that's the way I look at it.
The Baseball Reporters on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
We need to do a better job. If we're trying to stay away from him, we have to come in and shut down the door. Yesterday, Velasquez didn't do it, and BJ didn't do it today, and then he has to go through all that. So it's one of those that you try to stay away from Joe, and then hopefully we can stay away from him, but we didn't accomplish that. He had to come in two games that before the inning started, we were like, you know, hopefully we don't use him. But we did. We had to win the game. That's the most important thing.
That's Alex Cora yesterday, after yesterday's loss, or victory rather, after yesterday felt like a loss, the way that thing ended, yesterday's victory over the Toronto Blue Jays, in which they had to bring Craig Kimbrel into close. So when you look at that, you know, Cora was frustrated by that. You could hear it. I mean, he had to go to Kimbrel when he really didn't want to, and the night before he had to go to Kimbrel when he didn't really want to, because Hector Velasquez couldn't seal the deal for them. And so the Red Sox had to use their closer in a couple of games here where they really had to try to avoid it. And so now that could cost them. It's something worth keeping an eye on, because I don't think Craig Kimbrel is going to be available in this game tonight. And so if the Red Sox get into a late-inning situation against one of the best lineups in the game, they're not going to have their best bullpen available. How about that? Which brings me to this. I told you, to me, the one player I want to see in this series, maybe more than any other, and he might not pitch a lot, is Joe Kelly. Kelly has been awesome of late, really since opening day. I mean, he was a big part of that meltdown in Tampa. But since that time, Kelly's been lights out. And do you realize, since the start of last year, okay, Kelly has a 2.46 ERA in 84 innings covering 79 games. So you look at that and you say, that's pretty good. I mean, he was under 3 last year, and he's under 2 this year so far. Like, Kelly's been pretty good based on paper. On paper, he's been good. And so that outing he had the other night, and I'm going back a couple of nights now, Porcello wanted to blow that game, or, you know, loaded up the bases. The Blue Jays get a couple of runs. It's now 5-3 with men on second and third. Kelly came in and got a strikeout on 3 pitches. Fastball, curveball, change. All 3 for strikes. Sat the batter down, went in the dugout, and he pitched one more inning after that. But it was a big-time relief appearance against the Blue Jays. I want to see him do it again in a hostile environment against a good lineup. Because in New York, Kelly didn't pitch great. Those 8th and 9th inning meltdowns that the Red Sox had against the Yankees, Kelly was part of it. So I just to give you an idea, I ran some numbers. Relief pitchers, purely relievers now, in the American League since the start of last year, who have made 70 appearances and had an ERA under 3. and I eliminated closers because they're in a different class. So we're talking middle relievers and setup men. You know how many there have been in the game that have done what Joe Kelly has done? Five. He's one of the five in the American League. Andrew Miller's one of the others. Chris Devensky with the Astros is one of the others. And Michael Givens, this kid with the Orioles, he's another one. And if you've ever seen Givens, he's filthy good. Filthy good. And so all I'm telling you is, Kelly on paper looks like an elite setup man. Looks like what Dave Dombrowski says he is in the eighth inning. We believe in Joe Kelly. I need to see it against a really good team on the road before I believe in Joe Kelly. That to me, Kelly is a big one to watch in this series. And tonight, he could be closing. So keep that in mind. Evan is in Framingham. Evan, what's on your mind?
Hey, how you doing tonight, Matt? Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
I actually have two questions on Mookie. First and foremost, are you getting a little nervous with how this is playing out? And second would be, thinking optimistically, when he does return, what do we end up doing with the way Benny's hitting the leadoff spot? I'm going to hang up now. Thanks, Matt.
Okay, look, when Betts gets better, he's back in the leadoff spot. End of story. Benintendi drops back down a second. You know, I'm eager to see how sort of the whole lineup shakes out when Pedroia starts playing regularly, but clearly Pedroia is going to hit down in the lineup, and Benintendi is going to stay up top. I think that is now apparent, given that Pedroia, I think, is hitting fifth tonight, but it's worth keeping an eye on. Your first question about, am I starting to get worried about Mookie Betts' injury? My answer is yes. He missed the whole Blue Jays series. Did he not play on Sunday, too? Has it been four games now?
This is going to be the fifth he misses.
This is the fifth. Okay,
I know he's at the Celtics jamming out on Sunday night.
So he missed Sunday, and then he missed the whole Blue Jays series, right? And during the Blue Jays series, they told us the goal was to have him back for Houston. Now they're playing the opener in Houston, and Betts is out of the lineup again. So, yes, I'm getting more alarmed. The Red Sox indicated that it was tightness, it wasn't a major deal. If this were September, he'd be playing, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now it's five games. Now they're going into Houston for what is a big series, I'm sorry, even in May and June in the regular season, an important series, and Mookie's still not back in the lineup. So it's absolutely something I would keep an eye on and something that I am a little concerned about. 617-779-0985. We'll continue to take your calls here right up until 7 o'clock. And then we're giving it to Jones tonight, right, Jimmy? Is that right?
And yes, that's correct.
And who's with Jones? Is it you, McCone?
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. Jones and McCone. Brian in a car. Brian, what do you got?
Hey, Tony. So I know you have the win now attitude. If the Orioles come up to you and say, we'll give you Machado, but you have to give up Devers, what do you do?
No. What do you do?
I wouldn't give up Devers for half of your Machado and risking losing him because you have nobody else in the system. You don't have Chavis after. You don't know how Chavis is going to perform without the PEDs. So
I have a pretty good idea how Chavis is going to perform without the PEDs. What he did before last year, which wasn't good. But Brian, so look, I understand what you're saying about Machado, and to me, you've hit on the key point, okay, which is that you're not going to give up Devers, who's got, counting this year, 6 years in the big leagues with you. Right? He only played part of the season last year. So he's not going to be eligible for free agency until after 2023. So I am not giving up Devers for 4 months or 3 months of Machado. No way. Now, if you told me you could sign Machado and that was a given, yes, I would absolutely do it. But to me, forget that. The offense on this team right now is not the problem. They're hitting. They're scoring runs. And I hate to bring it back to this, but this is really what's done them in the last 2 years. It's been the pitching staff. Those two games last year, I was looking it up again, Drew Pomeroy has lasted two innings last year in Game 2 of that series. Chris Sale gets smacked around in Game 1. David Price was in the bullpen. He wasn't even in the rotation. So that they did not pitch well last season again in the playoffs. Now, I'm not thrilled about their offense either overall in the postseason. But the bigger issue has been their pitching. So I want to see how the Red Sox address that and whether or not these guys, you know, Sale I'm willing to give a little bit of a pass to because it's just one start. Price's postseason career has been a disaster as a starting pitcher. Pomeranz doesn't have the stuff or the balls that Sale does. So we'll see how it shakes out there. But Sale's a big one. I'm willing to give Sale another crack at it before I make a judgment on him in October. Neil is in Braintree. Go ahead, Neil.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call.
I think one guy that the Red Sox should look at if the Giants are willing to is Madison Bumgarner. He's had the postseason reputation with him, what he did against the Royals. Pitched in, I think it was like game five, came back in game seven, finished the last five innings. If we could get somebody like that, now I don't know how the deal would work because we don't have a lot of prospects, but that's a guy I think the Red Sox should look at.
Yeah, Neil, look, I'd love Bumgarner. I want Clayton Kershaw. I want everybody good, but they're not. They don't have the artillery to trade for Madison Bumgarner. So, look, I don't want to go down the road of how many guys we'd love to have. The bottom line is the Red Sox don't have a lot of artillery to deal. And this is sort of an issue now when you start looking at them compared to some of the other competitors in the league. Houston's got artillery, and they've already made moves. They picked up Verlander in the middle of last year. They picked up Gerrit Cole during the offseason. Houston is stacked. Stacked. Like, I'm not sure how many people have truly been paying attention, but do you understand what Houston's rotation has done here in the early part of the year? First of all, Houston's ERA as a team is a full run better than anybody else in the league. Houston's number one in the league in pitching, and it's not even close. Verlander, 12 games, 12 starts, 11 of them quality starts. He's 7-2 with a 1.11 ERA. 1.11. Gerrit Cole, he's 5-1. His ERA, 2.05. Cole has 109 strikeouts in 74 and two-thirds innings. Verlander has 98 in 81 innings. And Charlie Morton has 85 in 67 and two-thirds. Morton is 7-0 with a 2.26. Those are the three guys you're going to see after tonight. Lance McCullers is tonight. And then after that, Verlander 1.11, Cole 2.05, Morton 2.26. I don't think they're in that order, but you are seeing maybe the three best right-handers in the American League this year in the next three games. Maybe the three best. If the Red Sox are going to score and jump on the Astros, tonight's the night to do it. Because the next three games, if you win them, are probably going to be tight and low scoring, and you're going to need your bullpen, all of that. It's going to be a challenging weekend. Let's see if the Red Sox can stack up with what is, I think, indisputably, the best team in baseball. And the best team in baseball since the start of last season.
We have the Sox covered. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.